You're listening to Australia's fastest growing podcast network. This is the Lifestyle Pod Network. You're listening to The Dream Show with Jane Theresa Anderson.
Welcome to The Dream Show. I'm Jane Theresa Anderson, and this is episode 115. Now, avid listeners will notice that episode 115 is coming out 4 weeks after episode 114, and there's a good reason for this. Although the show's been weekly, the first 114 episodes were produced faithfully every week, we decided for many reasons to go to a monthly, well, let's be more precise, a four-weekly episode. So we're now going four-weekly with The Dream Show, and maybe you'll have time to actually listen to them all. Some feedback we were getting was, it's great, it's fantastic, I love this, but these 7 days come round so fast. So we're going, hopefully, quality, not quantity. What we're doing for today is, I've had quite a few people comment on an article that I wrote way back in 2000. I think it was 2000. I'll find out when I get there. And it's a little make-believe scenario where I am in the same room as Freud, Jung, and Hippocrates. Hippocrates is the father of modern medicine. And I put us in a room together to interpret one of my dreams. And as I said, I got a lot of people say that they still enjoy the article. So I thought, well, it's a bit deep and meaningful, but I think you'd enjoy listening to that. So that's coming up later in the show. And before that, a couple of slightly lighter, but still very significant and hopefully insightful little stories for you. And the first one is about our dreams and what we sometimes can't see for ourselves. And the second one is about what one small adjustment. In other words, the second one is about sometimes it's just one tiny, weeny, small thing that we can do in our lives that makes a complete difference to everything. And so we're going to look at that as well. A couple of little other notices before we begin. Of course, I have to, as always, give the website addresses. You can go to dream.net.au to find out what I do, how I can help you, and to read loads and loads and loads of free articles and resources and videos and all sorts of stuff there. That's dream.net.au. You can also go to my blog at janetheresa.com. That's Theresa with an out an H. You can find me on Facebook, or you can go to our very own Dream Show site, which has no W's. It is just thedreamshow.tv. And one other announcement I thought I'd make, I realized recently that I haven't made it clear on my website that there's something that many of you may be able to take a great opportunity from. And it's this: several of my clients actually have some of their services with me paid for by their employers, both public sector and private sector. And you may have been sitting there all this time thinking, I wish I could have particularly the life coaching, which is dream orientated, and you can read all about it on my website at www.dream.net.au. But particularly with the life coaching, the ongoing weekly sessions, and also with a 1 hour dream therapy, you may find that if you talk to your employer, there's some money set aside for this kind of thing. So if you've been feeling, oh, I'd love to have some of that, but that's a big bit out of my budget at the moment, go along to my website. I've made it a bit clearer on the front page. If you go to dream.net.au and click through to life coaching, you'll see right at the top there a link to all the information you need to approach your employer and find out whether all this time you could have been having, and from now forward you could be having and enjoying my services. So on with the show, as they say. And first up is this article called Watch My Lips, which I wrote on my blog last month. Watch My Lips. What you need to know is right in front of you and in your dreams, if you know how to look. The tricky bit is that the reason you are seeing a problem instead of a solution, darkness instead of light, is that your vision is blocked by your expectations, especially your unconscious expectations. Your waking life and dreams are often speaking plainly, loud and clear, but the block distorts the message. Watch my lips, we might say to someone who isn't hearing the simple statement we're making because it doesn't match their expectation of the moment. One of Michael's friends from way back handed her lottery ticket to her newsagent to see if she'd won anything. He ran the ticket through the machine. "You'd better sit down," he told her, handing her a piece of paper with the result. "Congratulations." She sat down and read the printout. $3,000, wonderful," she laughed. "Look again," said the newsagent. "Ah, $30,000, she said, surprised at having misread it the first time and rather excited at the timing of this much-needed gift. "Take a deep breath and read it properly," insisted the newsagent. $300,000? It can't be," her heart fluttering, a little panic arising. This was several years ago in New Zealand, and she had just gone back into the workforce after having children, needing to make ends meet. In the space of a minute, she had gone from winning a celebratory $3,000, you know, a holiday perhaps, to a debt-clearing $30,000, to the prospect of paying off their mortgage and buying a new house with the $300,000 winnings. But can you guess what happened next? "Look again," said the newsagent. She had won $3 million. She'd been unable to see all the zeros at first because winning such a sum simply did not fit her expectation. And all because the thought of having $3 million raised confusion, worry, and negative beliefs about being rich. I smiled when she told me a few weeks later that the only thing she'd bought so far was a new pair of sunglasses, sunshades. A great way to view the world while accustoming to a new perspective, which she did in the end. I was reminded of this last week when a client sent me a dream about a 10-year-old boy who needed to be rescued from a weird cult where they taught false creationist theories. She was so surprised on learning what her dream meant that she offered it to me to share in public, which is what I'm doing now. The boy in her dream was 10 years old. "I was 10 when my father died," she told me. "My father, who later turned out to be my stepfather." Can you see the connection yet? To me, it was loud, clear, and obvious. Her dream was about the false creationist theories she was given as a child about her origins. She was falsely informed, or it was implied, that the man she called father was her biological father, responsible, with her mother, for her creation. The rest of her dream showed how the emotional trauma she had experienced when she discovered the truth, or falsity, of her identity has been blocking her from moving her work into the public arena. She feels vulnerable about public exposure. The block has been her unconscious mind's way of protecting her from further hurt, even though life would be more rewarding for her today if she were freed from this so-called protection. This was welcome information, and her new awareness combined with applying dream alchemy will break through the block and she will find herself moving forward comfortably. Although she had known for many years that her father was in fact her stepfather, she did not know that she carried an emotional wound that was influencing the way she lives her life today. The wound was the block that blinded her from seeing, even as she described her dream to me, that her 10-year-old self had learned false creationist theories. I love that dream symbols can appear so weird at first glance that make perfect common sense when we look at them again later and watch their lips. Sometimes you can do that looking again and watching of lips yourself. Sometimes your block is too big, your expectations too set, and that's where I can help you, of course. And then this one called One Small Adjustment, which I blogged last month. One small adjustment. What if you were just one small adjustment away from having the life you want? In the movie How Do You Know?, George, Paul Rudd, gives Lisa, Reese Witherspoon, a can of Play-Doh for her birthday and tells her how Play-Doh was invented. Joe McVicker of Kutol Chemicals invented a putty-like wallpaper cleaner that sold well until vinyl wallpaper was introduced after World War II. Vinyl wallpaper was easy to clean with soap and water, and Joe's putty cleaner was fast becoming obsolete. The company's future looked dire. Then his sister-in-law, Kay Zufel, a kindergarten teacher, gave her class some of Joe's wallpaper cleaner to play with because it was easier for them to shape than the standard classroom modelling clay. It was also non-toxic and less messy. They both saw potential for repurposing Joe's wallpaper cleaner, but it was still missing a magical element. "What if you make it bright yellow?" Kay asked. And that's what they did. One small adjustment and Play-Doh was born. It was 1955, and Joe became a millionaire before his 27th birthday, and more than 2 billion cans of Play-Doh were sold over the next 50 years. The movie, How Do You Know?, was not such a resounding success, going on the record as one of the biggest flops of 2010, but Georgie's Play-Doh story sticks, in the mind. "We're all just one small adjustment away from having the life we want," George tells Lisa in the movie. George isn't talking about a business success outcome. He's talking about Lisa's happiness and her sense of purpose and connection with life. Does Lisa know what small adjustment she needs to make to have the life she really wants? And does she make it? Watch the movie to find out. So what if you were just one small adjustment away from having the life you want? What might that adjustment be? And would you make it? The catch is that we're generally blind to the adjustments we need to make. Otherwise, we would make them. And if we're not blind, we lack courage because we haven't discovered the small adjustments we need to make to overcome our fears. What if your small adjustment was a shift in focus, a new way of looking at a situation, a change in approach? The answer is in your dreams. Your dreams reflect your mindset and how it results in the life you are experiencing. Just as a mechanic can look at a broken engine and know what small adjustment is needed to make it work, or a chiropractor can look at your stiff neck and know what small spinal adjustment is needed to free it up, or a Kay Zufel can see that a small adjustment to colour can change a family fortune and bring creative pleasure to hundreds of millions of children, a professional dream interpreter can look at a dream and identify the small adjustment that you can make, the one you are currently blind to, that can bring positive, sunshiny yellow changes into your life. So, one small adjustment, hey? That's all it takes. And a kind of the idea of the adjustment works in a funny way into this story that I'm now bringing you about me, Freud, Jung, and Hippocrates. In this one imaginative story, which I wrote in January 2000, 11 and a half years ago, and I called it Signs of the Times. It was originally a Dreamsite article. And you can read it on my website at dream.net.au. Just go and find the, under free resources, you'll see Dreamsite articles and you can find it there. Signs of the Times, January 2000. Hippocrates, this is Freud. Freud, Hippocrates. The two grand old men eye each other tentatively as they reach across two millennia to shake hands. Hippocrates leafs through Freud's weighty book, The Interpretation of Dreams, published in 1900, while Freud runs his hands over the stone, snake-adorned walls of the 2,300-year-old Asclepian Healing Temple, where Hippocrates works. Snakes. Freud begins. Splashes echo from the depths of an inner chamber where Jung dives back into the pool of the collective unconscious and taps me on the shoulder. "Okay, Jane, they're ready for you now," he winks. I have decided to bridge millennial gaps and bring my dream wide awake for these dream grandfathers to consider. I have chosen the ancient Greek healing temple where Hippocrates worked as the venue. But firstly, there are two things I need to explain. The first is to you. During the millennium before the birth of Christ, in ancient Greece, physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual healing was commonly sought through healing temples. These temples were dedicated to Asclepius, the god of healing, whose symbol was the snake. People would go to the temples for an evening of ritual cleansing and preparation for sleep. The sleeping chamber was frequently filled with harmless snakes to symbolize the healing that would take place. In the morning, people would tell the healers their dreams. The dreams would then be interpreted and specific cures advised. Hippocrates, a dream interpreter healer who worked around 300 BC, discovered that some dreams held clues of impending physical sickness. He called them prodromic dreams, in his own language, in Greek. He later became immortalized by history as the father of medicine. Modern medicine doctors worked to the Hippocratic Oath under the snake-entwined staff, the caduceus, the symbol of modern medicine. And I wonder how many doctors today realize the link between the medical snake symbol and dream interpretation. Freud and Hippocrates inquisitively searched my face as I settled into my chair. "There's something I need to explain to you before you can understand what I'm about to tell you," I began. Their eyes widened as I quickly reviewed our late 20th century world so that they could follow the details of my dream, and then they were ready. I led them to the pool of the collective unconscious and unwrapped a plank of timber I had brought with me for the purpose. I held the plank under the surface of the water. "When you push the timber under the water, it pushes back and tries to float," I demonstrated. "It's buoyant." "Well, in my dream, someone gave me a skateboard, which was buoyant on air." I checked to see if they were with me here and pointed to my explanatory pin man on skateboard drawing etched into the loose sand covering the temple floor. In the dream, I could carry the skateboard easily, but as soon as I held it horizontally and pushed down on it, it became buoyant, just as if I were trying to push it underwater. It was also powered in this position. All I had to do was gently press on the skateboard, sit astride it, and go flying off down the street at tremendous speed. Freud clicked open his notebook and scribbled a word. "Predictable," I thought, rolling my eyes to the temple roof. "What shape was the skateboard again?" he inquired. "Kind of pointed at the end," I sighed, furthering his satisfaction. "Aha," Freud murmured, snapping the notebook closed, dream interpretation complete. "Ah, but there's more," I continued. "I was ecstatically happy flying at such speed on the skateboard, but it suddenly occurred to me that I might be getting in the way of the pedestrians. I kept getting on and off the skateboard, half wanting to get to where I was going fast, and half frightened of crashing into people and injuring them. Then I began to wonder if I should be flying my skateboard over the roads rather than along the sidewalks. Was I more like a car, and should I be obeying road rules like stopping at red traffic lights? Or was I more like a pedestrian, and should I be considering the needs of other pedestrians more? Or should I have flown like a butterfly and invited Lao Tzu into the conversation? My dilemma was so acute that I reluctantly got off my skateboard and walked, feeling sad that I had curtailed my amazing journey. "Clearly you have an anxiety complex here," Freud began, "and riding the pointed skateboard with a feeling of exhilaration does suggest a sexual connotation." Hippocrates interjected, "Your buoyancy is not as it should be. Your physical body is not operating at full efficiency. Now..." I stumbled a little as I moved closer, inadvertently giving away a major clue. "Ah, what's wrong with your leg?" Hippocrates smiled, hot on the trail of the physical symptom. He was closing in on my own interpretation of my dream now. "I've been having some problems with my knee for a few weeks," I explained. "An ultrasound and X-ray examination has revealed a free floating piece of bony tissue. Most of the time I'm fine, but when it moves under my kneecap, my movement is restricted and it's very painful. I may have to have it surgically removed. Freud flourished his notebook again as he confirmed. So when your knee is sore, you feel restricted and would dearly love to move more freely. Is that right? I nodded. I watched over Freud's shoulder as he drew a firm pencil stroke through sexual anxiety and wrote wish fulfillment in capital letters. Hippocrates stroked his beard in contemplation. Your knee is not working smoothly, and the dream shows your grief and frustration with being unable to get to your destinations easily. We must give you some clay to make a statue of a running woman and invite you to release your grief and frustration through this art. Stay in the temple for a week working on this piece, and I will order food and powders to aid this healing and remodeling work. A ripple of a frown crossed Freud's brow as I pulled my long dress above my knee and invited Hippocrates to press down on my kneecap. Have you ever noticed how springy knees are? I asked him. Hippocrates poked at my knee while Freud pondered aloud. The kneecap protects the knee joint, cushioning it from harm. It's so springy it's almost buoyant. A ripple of light flushed away from his frown. A ripple of light flushed away his frown. Ah, the dream symbolism, I see. Buoyant skateboard, buoyant knee. Yes, yes, I laughed. That's what I thought when I woke up from the dream. I should be moving freely and happily to my destinations, but my knee buoyancy is intermittent, leaving me frustrated and in grief when I have to move more slowly. The obstacles to your movement in your dream, the pedestrians, the roads, are dream signs of the bony obstacle in your knee, Hippocrates added. When they get in your way, your movement is restricted. Staying in the peace of the temple, away from the crowding, will help your healing too. You had anxiety in the dream, Jane, Freud countered. It was anxiety that got you off your skateboard. Should you take the road or the sidewalk? Were you in the way of others? Should you obey the road rules? I stared at Freud with new eyes. Before this millennial bridging moment, I would never have thought we would have reached similar conclusions. You might benefit from some time in therapy to cure these neuroses, he added. Suddenly we were standing worlds apart again, but I loved the man nonetheless. I have to say as an aside there to the article that Freud believed that all dreams were signs of neurosis, and of course that is far from the approach that I take. I see dreams as being able to positively contribute to our growth and evolution. The smell of salt and sea air filled the room as Jung reappeared after his deep pool swim. So who are all those people and roads, Jane? He whispered in my inner ear as he nudged me in the ribs. My own obstacles, the obstacles I put in my own path, myself, my attitudes, my inner world, I listed as I bent over the pool and gazed into the water. Reflections of my inner self. The words on my breath ruffled the water and rippled outwards across the mirrored surface, ever outwards into my world. Hippocrates, Freud, and Jung dissolved into one. Parts of myself, parts of the whole world, millennial fragments touched through the bars of linear time and brought to life for a timeless discussion of dreams. Postscript. While waiting for the surgeon's opinion, I am working on remodeling my knee from my inner world so that whether or not I opt for the quick and certain cut of the knife, I will soon be obstacle-free from the inside out rather than from the outside in. Synchronicity joined in the fun and games when my old and trusted sunshades case, which I use every day, suddenly wouldn't close tight any longer when the spring decided to go lax. I have concluded that the intermittent obstacle in my knee reflects my intermittent over-flexibility in attitude and over-concern for the rules in some situations, stopping at red traffic lights, doing things in accordance with the rules of, for example, financial institutions and so on. My version of Hippocrates' suggestion of working with clay for healing was to buy a new car, which I did, and to focus on making all my traffic lights green. So that's the end of the article written 11 and a half years ago. I did opt for the surgeon's knife. And, you know, I came out unable to walk for a couple of weeks, did all my exercises. And although the surgeon said to me, I think you better walk rather than run, I actually, within 6 weeks, was back to dancing and running. And I can now do absolutely anything athletically. And my yoga and running and walking. And I have a wonderful knee. In fact, I have two wonderful knees. It's all good now. So I hope you enjoyed that little tongue-in-cheek, kind of deep and meaningful little millennial thing. Obviously inspired because I wrote it in January 2000. I was inspired by the millennial change. Now, the next episode, just to remind you, is not next week. It's in 4 weeks' time. So episode 116, for which we have a guest lined up, to record a dream interpretation next week. So we'll be bringing that to you, and that will come out on August the 26th. As you know, some dream shows, we have a guest with a dream to interpret, as we will in episode 116, and other dream show episodes are me bringing you stuff that I think will be interesting, inspirational, and useful and insightful for you. If you'd like to be a guest on the show, get in contact with me. It's easy to do that through any of my websites. So thanks for being with me for another episode of The Dream Show. Go to www.dream.net.au to look for all the services, check out how your employer might be able to pay your sessions with me, find out free resources, all kinds of stuff, or to my blog, www.chainteresa.com, to Facebook, or to our Dream Show site at thedreamshow.tv. Have a wonderful 4 weeks. Have some brilliant dreams. Bring them to me if you need a little bit of help. And I'll see you next month for another edition of The Dream Show. I'm Jane Teresa Anderson.
The Dream Show is a production of Jane Teresa Anderson for the Lifestyle Pod Network. You can find more great podcasts like this one at lifestylepodnetwork.com.